The Rav Shalom Shwadron brings down, I had the zechus of learning this with Ari Kirschblum one Shabbos afternoon. He brings down in a story that we've all seen in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, or most of us have seen in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Noach, when he got out of the Mabul, so the first thing he did was he planted a vineyard. So Medrash writes that after Noach got out of the Mabul, so the Satan met Noach some point on his way out, and Satan put his arm around Noach, he slapped him on the back a few times, and he said, "Hey Noach, how about me and you, we go plant a vineyard together?" And Noach said, "Well, that's a great idea, let's go plant a vineyard together." So the Satan then, he took a lamb, and he slaughtered it on the spot that was going to be the vineyard, and obviously using the blood to be the driving factor, the driving force behind what was happening. Then he came and he brought a lion, slaughtered the lion, and used the blood that was pouring out from the Shechita, put that on the spot where they're going to plant the vineyard. And finally he brought a pig, and he slaughtered the pig, and the blood poured out. And then after that came the vineyard. So Shalom Shwadron points out in the Medrash, he says that it's clear that the Satan was explaining or was showing to Noach the process of what happens when somebody drinks too much. First, after the first cup, we're like a lamb, we're a little bit more reserved, a little bit more quiet, a little bit more sedated. Then when you have a little bit more to drink, so all of a sudden we become more pompous and more outspoken. And like a lion, we're much bolder. We do things that maybe under normal circumstances we normally would not have done. And finally, when you drink too much, so you end up rolling around. I end up rolling around like a pig in the mud. So I remember I have a picture on my refrigerator. My kids just found it. Some of you know this. There's a picture of when I was in the Kollel in Shalavim the year before Leva Torah started. So I guess it's 7 years ago, 8 years ago. And it didn't rain. It didn't rain for a long time. And the first rain, it happened like at the end of December, early January. And in our, because we were ensconced in secular culture, so the first time it rained and there was a lot of mud, so we said, "Well, let's go out and play football." So I went with a bunch of Shana Aleph, Bet, and Gimel guys in Shalavim who were there that year. We had an awesome game. We had an awesome game of football. I was probably the best player on the field that day. And there's a picture of us all, you know, all muddy and dirty and disgusting, and it was even better than the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. That night we got to the Beis Medrash that night, and all feeling good about ourselves with all the memories that we had. Rav Katziv, who lived in Bnei Brak, and Rav Katziv, his eyes were black because the legend was that he only slept one out of every two nights. And Rav Katziv got up to give Musa. I don't even remember what he was talking about that day, but he did say, he was talking, actually now I remember, he was talking about how tzaddikim sometimes dress up in ways that they aren't tzaddikim, and he said that he saw Talmidei Chachamim rolling around in the mud like pigs, trying to chase a ball, and he didn't understand, and he called us chazerim. That was without alcohol, but maybe football is tantamount to drinking, especially when it destroys the base of Mikdash. So the Medrash says that Noach came and Noach saw, first it was the lamb, humility, reservation, then there was, and that's not from somebody who doesn't like football. If you remember that first day on the beach, who were you playing in that game?
Why don't you say it for the iPod, what happened?
I juked that guy, right? What happened?
And he fell on his face,
and I scored the touchdown. I did the whole dance, and it was amazing. So it's not like I don't understand football. I understand football, but you also have to understand the ramifications of our actions. So Noach was clear. He was showing Noach what happens when you drink. First there's reservation. Then there's being bold. And then there's rolling around like a pig. I remember I have a friend. He got married, and very within the first year, he and his wife were at a wedding, and he got so drunk that he acted like an animal on a table, and she divorced him the next week. So I don't even know what was, she was so embarrassed. So the Satan said, this is the process of drinking. So Shalom Shwadron asks, he says, I understand why the Satan would want Noach to drink, to be like a lion, to be pompous, to be a balgaiva. Those are not traits haughty is not trait is not a trait of is not a trait of a Jew. And I understand to be a pig. That's also not a trait like a Jew. When we get so drunk or we're totally out of control and we're disgusting, that's not a trait of a Jew. But humility, the first cup of wine, the lamb, the blood of the lamb, and the humility, that's something that's really good. Why would the Satan have Noach drink that first cup of wine so that, or show him the example of that first cup of wine, which is humility, which is a positive? Wouldn't he try to be doing the total opposite? So if Shadron answers with another medrash. The medrash says that the smart dogs in Rome, they do their trade with chachma. They do their trade with chachma. Why? Because let's say a dog wants a roll. So he goes up to the baker's table with all the rolls on it, and he pretends that he's going to sleep. So the baker sees the dog sleeping, so the baker falls asleep also. And then, right when the baker falls asleep, the dog gets up, turns over the entire tray of rolls, everything's rolling all over the place, the dog grabs a roll, and then runs away. What's going on in this medrash? So Rav Shadron explains that, again, look at the words of the Medrash, the dog does his trade with Chachma. Because the dog knows that if he would go on a frontal attack, all he wants is one roll. But if he would go on a frontal attack and steal a roll, so the next time that he came, the baker would be like, "Stay, whoa, I know what you're going to do. I'm going to be really on guard." But what did the dog do? When he turned over the whole tray of rolls and the baker's running around grabbing everything that he can, so at the end, when the baker's counting, did he get everything? And in the end, he finds that he only lost one, so he feels great about himself. He's like, wow, you know what kind of tragedy that could have been? Everything was rolling all over the place. I could have lost my whole business. And in the end of the day, the ratty dog, he stole one roll. All right, yeah, he stole one roll. Who cares about that? But look what I saved. I won. So then when the dog comes back the next day and the baker looks at him, he's not thinking, oh, there's the dog that I stole, that stole a roll, I better watch myself. He's not thinking anything. So that's the chachma of the dog. Because when he steals a roll to eat, he sets himself up in a position where the next day he'll be able to eat again. It's not just about the ends. It's not just let me get something to eat, but let me get something to eat in such a way that tomorrow I'll be able to steal again. And it says, Rav Shadron, that's the same thing with our medrash about Noach. The Satan knows that if he lures Noach and he gets him and he goes straight for the jugular and he makes him a pig right away, so Noach's going to be like, whoa, there's something foul is going on here. I need to stay away. But when we start with anava and Noach drinks and he becomes humble and he's like, whoa, this is a great thing. Maybe alcohol is a positive. Maybe there are good things that could come out of it. So now the Satan has him right where he wants him, and the rest is going to be easy. What we see from that explanation is that sometimes the Satan gets us to do positive things that's really a setup for us to have a much greater fall. So let's say, for example, let's say somebody misses Yeshiva Shacharis. So it could be sometimes when we wake up really late. So sometimes we daven after that by ourselves with a tremendous amount of kavana. So you know where that tremendous amount of kavana came from? The Satan. Because then we're going to be thinking, when I wake up at 7:45 Shacharis, my davening is eh. But when I wake up late, so I have this amazing Shacharis, maybe I should wake up late. Maybe I should wake up late every day. That's a trap. That's the Satan. That's not something that we need to be a part of. He's much smarter and he has a lot more patience. He doesn't need to see results. He doesn't need to see results right away. All he cares about is the greater picture. And in order to trap us, so sometimes he'll give us, you know, so I know that this is true for me. This is an example that he gives, Rav Shadron. He says a lot of times people all of a sudden have an overwhelming urge to learn during Kabbalah Shabbos. Everybody's singing and dancing. And all of a sudden you have this fire that you've never had before that you should learn. So where did that come from? That's also the Satan. Be porish min atzibur. I'll use something that's positive. Now, yes, it's a complex calculation of when is it Satan and when is it not Satan. It's very complicated. But what we have to keep our eyes out on is sometimes when I'm doing something good, is it really, am I really doing something that's positive, or is it a setup? Is it a trap for maybe something? Maybe I'm justifying to myself, I'm going to miss Seder because I need to do a chesed. Right? I need to, now chesed is very important, but ashlosh dvar ma'olam omed, Torah, avoda, and gemilas chasadim. Now, to be number three on that list is very serious and is very important. But number one on that list is Torah. So now again, there are a lot of times that we need to do chesed and it will interfere with Seder, it's the right choice. But it's not a carte blanche that all of a sudden, whoa, berandom chaver is so important that I need to miss Seder. We have to do cheshbon. Sometimes the satan will create mitzvos for us to do, really only to set us up, because then we won't be doing. You could argue with this also, l'fi ani asdati, the way that yeshivas have been running for years and years and years is learning Gemara. For hundreds and thousands of years, yeshivas learn Gemara. In my humble opinion, not because Chumash is not important, Chumash is very important. Everybody has a chiyuv of learning Chumash. You should know Chumash by heart. You should know how to find Psukim by heart. You should know all these things. You should know Nevi'im by heart, Exuvim by heart. They're all important. But sometimes there's levels of learning. There's more straightforward learning, and there's more in-depth learning. And in my humble opinion, more in-depth learning is more serious and is more, valuable is the right word. So sometimes what's going to happen is that sometimes, you know, we're really feeling it, that I really want to read Guard Your Anger. Now, it's a fantastic book. It's really great to read, you know, at a certain point. But I really want to read Guard Your Anger. So I'm going to spend my whole afternoon, that's Torah. You know, I could be in my room playing PSP, but I'm in the Beis Medrash. So what are you hacking on me for? Because I'm reading Guard Your Anger. But, you know, don't get on my case for that. That's so sometimes we get an inspiration to do certain things that it could be that really that inspiration is really only to prevent us from doing much greater things. And we have to be chachamim a little bit. We have to look and ask ourselves, am I cheating? Am I using excuses? Am I cutting corners and doing easy way outs? Or, now listen, if somebody really makes a cheshbon and decides, no, this is really what I have to be learning right now, something great, so then learn that. But we need to double check before we go run and cut corners and try to do other things. So specifically when it comes to this inyan of to this idea of tefillah. So when it comes to tefillah, we have to be super careful. This week's parsha is about Yitzchak and Yishmael. The pasuk in Balak says, "Ay mi yichya mi sumo el, ay mi yichya mi sumo el." Woe is the one who will live mi sumo el. From, if you change the words, mishmo kel. Woe is to the one who will live mishmo kel. There are only two nations in the world that have the name of God in them. Yisrael and Yishmael. And the name Yishmael means Kishama Hashem, Yishmael, that Hashem will listen. The power of Yishmael is via tefillah. They daven five times a day. That's a lot of times to daven, because they know that's the core of what they're all about. And the Medrash in this week's Parsha writes, this is a very frightening Medrash. The Medrash writes, and right before the Akedah, what's Vayihi Acharei HaDvarim Ha'ela? Right before the Akedah. So the Medrash says, Yishmael and Yitzchak have a conversation. Yishmael says to Yitzchak, Ani chavav mimcha, I am more beloved than you, in Hashem's eyes, shenamalti liyud gimel shana. Because I had my bris milah when? I was 13. I had my bris milah, I was 13. And you were 8 days. You were a katan. You couldn't even protest. So where was the sacrifice? So in terms of that, sacrifice is much greater on my part. Yitzchak says, if Hashem would ask me to give my whole body, you gave up 3 drops of blood. If Hashem would ask me to give up my whole body, so then I would do it in a second. And when he was 37 years old, with plenty of knowledge to know what he was doing, and Vayihi Achar HaDvar Ma'ela, after these words, after Yishmael and Yitzchak exchanged words, Hashem said, okay, all right, Yitzchak, put money where your mouth is, let's see. Avram, go take your son Yitzhak, 37 years old, and go slaughter him. But if you look at that medrash, if you're sensitive, if we're sensitive to what this medrash is telling us, so that means that there's constantly going to be a tension of who's going to win. Is Yishmael going to win, or is Bnei Yitzchak? Is Bnei Yitzchak going to win? And who is going to ultimately win? The one who's more Moser Nefesh. If the conversation would have stopped right there, Yishmael having a bris at 13, so he would have won. God would have given him whatever he wanted. But that's not the way the story ends. The only way that we could beat Yishmael is only if we up the ante on Moser Nefesh, on what they're doing. So nobody's asking to daven 5 times a day. But when we do daven 3 times a day, let's make it a real. Let's make it a real 3 times a day. And if there's a reason why perhaps maybe we don't, maybe perhaps we have a good reason for not making a minyan or for not davening properly, we need to double check sometimes and see if maybe it's the satan that's just setting me up and leading me to not do something that's better and to not do something that's really much more correct. So Yirat Zom Lefnei Avinu Shebas Shemayim, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu should help us, number one, to be able to snuff out the Yetzer Hara and know what are traps and what are real. And to number two, to have the strength to the Mesiras Nefesh, to understand truths, to understand, not just do it because I told you to do it, not just do it because somebody hung up a sign in the dorm to do it, but to do it because we understand why it's important to do and why it's crucial in our struggle against Yishmael. But there really primarily should be peace in the world with everybody.